Hey everybody, thank you for tuning in to New Life Podcast. Get ready for Pastor Dave Dolan to deliver a spirit-filled message centered in God's Word.
Now our topic is anchored. That's been the topic, anchored. So I want you to turn to your neighbor, turn to someone at your table and says, are you anchored? And how deep does your anchor go? Amen? Because if you think of a ship, if you don't drop the anchor down all the way, that ship is going to still drift. So are you anchored and staying put, or are you drifting? Because if you're drifting, are you really in God the way you need to be? Because if you're anchored, you don't move. Amen? You know, years ago, I watched Hurricane Andrew. And they showed a picture of a palm tree. And the palm tree was bending so that the leaves or the branches was touching the ground. But the palm tree did not break. It stayed anchored because of its roots. I'm here to tell you, you may bend, but you won't break. You may be pushed from side to side, but you won't break. So when the storms are coming and they're hitting you hard, always remember, because I'm anchored in God, my roots go deep. I may bend, but Satan, I will not break. Amen. Ooh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, I had a sub-message. I mean, the sub-message was, have you been bathed in the Word? And, you know, when I was thinking about that, you know how after you take a bath or a shower, I know some of you ladies, y'all like to take baths. Well, let me stop for a second. Those of you who are watching online, good evening, and we're glad you're with us. Yeah. But, you know, after you take a shower, you take a bath, I know you ladies, y'all might like to take, you know, long, hot bubble baths. You know, y'all like to put smell good in the bath water and whatnot, you know. But after you take a bath, when you walk by someone, there's an aroma of a person who's taking a bath. It's a fresh aroma. It's a pleasant aroma. Now, my question to you is, have you been so into your Word that when you walk by somebody, there's an aroma of God? They can sense God's presence when you walk by. And if they can't, you might want to change what kind of soap you're using. Because the soap I like to use is called the Word of God. Amen? So that when I walk into a room, I want the presence of that room to change because they can sense God on the inside of me. And we all should want that wherever we go, wherever we are, in our cars or whatever, that we want God's presence. We want people to realize that we belong to Him. I mean, years ago, I was at the grocery store, and this is when I was pastoring. And on holidays, we would have dinners. And I was at the store picking up sodas and a few other things for the cookout we were having. And this couple and their children, they were there. And the husband, he looks at me and says, oh, I want to come to your house for dinner. I said, oh, come on. I didn't tell him where I live. I didn't tell him what time. I just said, come on. He said, but there's only one thing missing, though. He says, you don't have any beer in your cart. His wife looked at him and said, honey, he doesn't drink. I didn't know that woman from Adam. But she knew my spirit. And when you're in God's word, people will know your spirit. So when you're off different places and people are asking you, do you want this or you want that? They should be able to look at you and say, that's not a part of who they are. That's not a part of their spirit. So don't offer them this. Don't offer them that because they're not that type of person. People should be able to, when you go back home, can say, you know, I knew Shirley when she was growing up and woo. Oh, man, I could tell you some stories. But then the next thing they should say, but that's not who she is today. Because she has been bathed in the Word of God. So there is a difference in who she is. She's not the same Shirley. Amen? Okay, we're gonna move on because y'all, I feel good. Okay, we're going to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay, I want to stop right there. I want you to drop down and look at the definition for peace. The definition for peace is a state of stillness or serenity. A state of stillness or serenity. That means that as you're going through and you have the peace of God, it doesn't matter what's going on. I can be sick in my body, but because I have God's peace and I know God got me, I'm not worried about what's going on in my body because I know God is going to heal my body. No money in the bank, but Lord, I know you got me. No food in the cupboard, but Lord, I know you got me. So do you have God's peace? Or are you one of those who worry and complain and fuss and Lord, Lord, you're not. But if you have God's peace, you don't say, Lord, why aren't you? You say, Lord, I thank you. So are you praising God in the midst of the trial that you're going through? Or are you complaining? Because if you have his peace, there's no need to complain because you know your God got you. Amen? Remember Joshua said in his book, is it Joshua 24, I believe it is. He says, I remember back. Lord, you had me then. I know you got me now. You fed us with manna. You led us by a cloud by night. If you can do it then, because your God, you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if you were the same here, you're the same here. I know you got me right here. And that's where our peace needs to come from, by remembering what God has already brought us through. But how come when the trials get harder, we forget who we're serving? And we whine. We got any whiners in the house? I know I'm probably going to get no people, you know. Okay. Because I can admit, I have whined a time or two. I have whined a time or two, but then God will remind me of, who are you serving? Or we ask God, Lord, I need something, you know, because of what I'm dealing with, Lord, I need a fresh word. I need something fresh. I made the mistake of asking God that one time. And the Holy Spirit spoke and says, why should I give you something new when you've done nothing with what I've already given you? So are you using God's word, what he's already given you, to make it through what you're dealing with? Stop asking for something first and ask, Lord, just remind me of what you've already told me. Amen? So God rules in our hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Are you really thankful for who God is in your life? And then do you give him all of you? Because if you're thankful, for example, husband and wives. If the husband does everything he's supposed to do, and treat the way he treats his wife, that wife would be by him and with him like four flat tires and a spare. She's not going anywhere because he honors her. He treats her with respect. The same thing with the children. If we can give that respect to a person on earth, why can't we give that respect to God? Why can't we honor God that way in our giving and what we do for the church and honoring our pastor and honoring those who are in leadership? Why can't we do the same thing to them? And by respecting them and honoring them, we also honor God, because those are people that God has put in charge of us. Amen? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Does God's word dwell in you richly? Which means if God was to come and check your heart right now, what would he find? Would he find his word? Or would he find a bunch of murmuring and complaining and hurt this, hurt that? Because if he finds his word, that means that when you speak, his word comes forth. When you act, you're acting upon his word. teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, there's some things we do, we don't want to attach God's name to it at all, because they'll have anything to do with him. But it says here that whatever we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what is it that God has told you to do in accordance to his word, his will for your life, that you're still not doing? And if you're not doing it, are you really honoring him? Think about it. Growing up as a child, if your mother or father told you to do something, you didn't do it, what happened? I know what happened in my house. My mother and father are old school. I know what happened in my house. So when you're not being obedient and following the word of God the way you're supposed to, what happens in your life? Things go haywire. Things can get crazy. And they say, well, Lord, why is this happening? Because you didn't do what I told you to. Why am I going through? Because you didn't do what I told you to. I told you not to go to this place. I told you not to hang around these people, but you're still doing it. And you're wondering why things are not going right in your life. Because you are Thank you, Jesus. Are you being obedient? And the only one that can answer that question is you. See, the next part is because of the hearts of people falling away from God, two things are going to happen in these last days. And that's something we can see now. People will become unholy. They're not going to do the right thing. They're not going to follow God's word. They're not going to treat people the right way. And people are becoming unthankful. You know, I hate to say it about this generation, the millennium generation. In some ways, they want things now. They want it right now. And if they don't get it, they fuss, they complain, they get mad. Instead of saying, Lord, I thank you for what I do have. I thank you for what you're giving me. I thank you, Lord, for how you delivered me. I thank you, Lord, when I should have been killed in that car accident, but you saved my life. Lord, I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to thank you. But instead, we are fussing and complaining. But there's all the one thing that we also need to be aware of, too. Who did they learn it from? What is the atmosphere in our homes? Is that atmosphere, is that spirit a part of our house where there's murmuring and complaining going on? Now, the one thing that we always try to teach our kids is no matter what you deal with, always give God praise. Because there's something in what we deal with. There's something in what we're going through. Have you ever asked the Lord, in this situation I'm in right now, what is it that you're trying to teach me? What is it that you want me to learn? Sometimes we're going through things because of our prayers. God is doing nothing but answering our prayers. The problem is, he's not answering our prayers the way we want him to, but he's answering our prayers in the way that we can stay grounded and rooted and anchored in him. But when he does that, we complain because it's not how we wanted it to be. God does not own a Burger King. You can't have it your way. It's got to be in accordance to his will. Amen. There are 12 obligations of Christian life. Seeking those things above, which means we're seeking God's word. We're seeking what God's will is. We're seeking what God wants us to have. How many of you wake up during the day or wake up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, order my steps for today. What is it you want me to do? Lord, I'm looking to you, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. Lord, I'm looking to you. What is it that you want me to do today? And then when he tells you, do you actually do it? I say, oh, Lord, I don't have time to do that. Or, Lord, I got this and that I got to do. So, you know, can I do that tomorrow? Now, what if God says, well, do you want me to bless you tomorrow? But you need the blessing today. Amen. And that is scripture, Colossians 3 and 1. Number 2, set affections on things above. There is so much I could say to that one. And sometimes our affections are misplaced because of people, because of hurt and pain. Or, Lord, I love him, but he's the one that's pulling you away from me. If our affections are set above, then we look to God for everything. Our love is towards God. I look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. So, Lord, I love you because I love you. I'm going to do what you tell me to when you tell me to do it. So my affections are towards you and what you bring into my life. Colossians 3 and 2. Number 3, mortify all sinful members. So check yourself. What things in your life you need to get rid of? What things in your life are causing you pain or causing you issues? What things in your life are pulling you away from God? What sin is it in your life that you need to let go of and give over to God? That's Colossians 3, 5 through 7. Number 4, put off the old man, your old nature. How many of you just, well, you probably won't like to answer this question, but when you get stressed out, do you find yourself reverting back to old things you used to do to comfort yourself? Instead of getting down on your knees and worshiping God, instead of glorifying God's name, instead of getting into the Word. Some people, when they get stressed out, they eat. Instead of going before God, they eat. You know, back in the day when I got stressed out, I did one or two things. I was either going to lift weights or I was going to bake. And at the time, this one particular time, I was working at an alternative middle school. Lisa was pregnant with Elijah. And the kids that I had were the ones, it was the school that I taught at. It was our last stop before they went to prison. And this was just a really bad day. And so I came home, and I baked 5 cream cheese pound cakes, one right after the other, because of how stressed I was. I didn't worship. I didn't praise. I didn't get into my word. I baked. Some of the recipes that I have now are because of stressful times. I would get in the kitchen, and I would bake. One time I was so stressed out, I came home. Well, no, it was actually during the summer, and I couldn't find a job for the summer. And there was a lot going on, and I prepared a 7-course meal. Everything was made from scratch. The bread, everything was from scratch. And a dessert. And Lisa pulled me aside and says, Claude, you got to figure out another way to deal with your stress because I'm getting fat. So I started lifting weights. So when we go through things, we got to pull off the old man. We can't allow that old nature to creep back up again. Sometimes when we get hit with something, all of a sudden, or it catches us off guard, what comes out of your mouth? Is it the new man or the old man? Because back in the day, y'all don't want to know what came out of my mouth. So when you're hit unexpectedly, you can tell the true nature of a person because they're going to respond based off of what is on the inside of them. It says, what is bound in the heart of a man, so is he. Now, the abundance of the heart, the mouth will what? Speak. So if cuss words is in my heart and I get hit unexpectedly, that's what's coming out. Anybody cussed lately? All right, number 5, and that's Colossians 3, 8 through 9. Number 5, put on the new man, which is in Christ. He's going to cleanse us of our sins. And the new man is understanding what his word says about us. Understanding what his word says, who his word says we are. How many of you know who you are in God? How many of you know that you're an overcomer? How many of you know that you're victorious? How many of you know that you already have the authority to talk to Satan and tell him to leave you alone? Because when Jesus died and rose again, he gave all power to us. So if we have that authority, why aren't we taking that authority against the things we're dealing with in our lives? You know, sometimes you can tell a person what's going through, they walk with their head down. But if we serve a righteous God that has already defeated the enemy, our heads should be up and we should be praising. We should be worshiping because we know we're already victorious in that situation. We may not see it right now, but we know what's coming. We got to be like the old lady at the bus station. The bus may be late. She may be looking at her watch, but she knows what's coming. So she's going to sit there patiently waiting for that bus to get there. Are you waiting patiently for God to come and deal with the situation that you're in? This is my other thing. Are you in God's way of getting to the situation that you're in? Because sometimes our mouths can block God from getting to what we need him to do. Sometimes the positions that we're in can block God from getting to the things that we need him to do because we're not in place the way we should be to receive other blessings. I was talking to a young man one time, and he's a quarterback. And I said, as a quarterback, sometimes you don't throw to the person, but you throw to a position. You throw to a spot on the field. And it's up to the receiver to get to that spot in order to receive the pass. Are you in place to receive what God has for you? Or did you run a different route that God did not tell you to run? Y'all with me? All right, number 6, forbear with all men. Sometimes we got to be there for our brother. You ever had someone is always going through something and you're the one person they always come to? And you pray, Lord, please give me strength to deal with this same situation that we've been dealing with over and 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 over again. Okay, now this is my question for you. How many times have God have said that to you? And he's been dealing with your mess. And over and over and over and over and over again. So sometimes we got to think about what we ask God to do for us so we're able to do that for our fellow man, for our brothers, our sisters. Amen? And that's Colossians 3 and 13. Number 7, forgive all men. Forgiveness for some people is a hard thing to do because they haven't released the hurt. They haven't released the pain. Well, you don't know what they did to me. No, but God does. God knows what they did to you. God also knows what things you've done to other people, but yet he forgave you. So why can't you also show that same type of love and forgive as well? You know, we've heard pastors say on many occasions, when you forgive, forgive what? Quickly. Because tomorrow's promised to no man. So we got to make sure that when our time comes, that everything is clear between us and God. There's no anything that can hinder us. So we can't be holding on to hurt and to pain. We got to forgive because Christ forgave us. God forgave us. Amen. And that's Colossians 3 and 13. Number 8, put on divine love. How many of you struggle loving you? I could say how many of you struggle loving other people, but sometimes we have a harder time loving ourselves. When you look in the mirror, can you say, I love you? And mean it. Because there was a time in my life I couldn't say that to myself. I picked apart the things about myself I didn't like. Being a black male, light-skinned black male, being raised in the South, I got picked on all the time because of my freckles, because of my skin complexion. So when I looked in the mirror, I complained about what I saw because what I saw brought pain to me because of others. So I didn't love myself because I thought I was a mistake. But it says in Psalms 139 and 14 that we are fearfully, Lord, I praise you, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, And I rightfully know. That means that I know that I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, which means I cannot sit and pick apart the things that God has done in my life or how he has made me. Because if I do that, then I'm saying, Lord, you made a mistake. And God cannot make a mistake. So the way we look is the way we're supposed to look. So instead of me wallowing in pity and how people have treated me growing up and what people have said about me, I'm choosing to say, Lord, I thank you because I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. I am sweet and adorable, and don't forget cute, too. I added that last part on in there. But what we have to do is change our internal definition of who we are, that we can show divine love. Because if we love ourselves, then we can show love to other people. But we got to make sure it's the right kind of love. We got to make sure it's God's love and not the world's love. Because world love will mess you up. World love will cause you a lot of pain. But God's love will show you how to love a person in a way that it builds them up, it strengthens them, that they can also share that kind of love. Because that kind of love doesn't say, okay, in order for me to love you, you got to give me something. In order for me to love you, you got to reciprocate something in kind. God's love is free. So why are we going to charge for something that's free to us? Amen? Number 9, let peace umpire your life. Y'all, anybody here likes baseball? Any baseball players, baseball lovers in here? But in baseball, they have an umpire. Umpire is behind the plate. He's also on first base. He's also, I think, on between second and third base. But umpire says what's right and what's wrong. Umpire says if there's a strike, if it's a strike or it's a ball. If there's a controversy, the umpire is the one who decides whether this is wrong or whether this is right. So now if we're letting peace umpire our life, that means we're allowing peace to dictate what goes on in our life. That when there's a controversy, we're allowing God's peace to help us guide us through and say, okay, I need to go up to Gay and just hold her, give her a hug and say, I love you. Even though she may have said something negative to you before, what you're going to do in return is show her love. You're not going to reciprocate the meanness that she showed towards you. What you're going to do is give her God's love, divine love. Divine love comes from God. So if God is giving us his divine love, we should also give it out to others. You know, in his word it says, through love and kindness have I drawn thee. There are some people in our lives that, I don't know about y'all, but there's some people in our life, if I had the chance in my old self, I would have slapped the taste out of their mouth. But I find myself actually going back to those same people and showing them divine, godly love. And they're looking at me crazy because they know what they did and they're expecting to respond in one way, but I'm responding out of the love of God. And now I'm beginning to win them over because I'm not coming at them the way they thought I would. And that one is Colossians 3 and 15. Number 10, know the Bible. How much do you study? Do you spend time in God's word? Do you spend time meditating on God's word? How can you stand on something you don't know? Satan knows God's word too. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was coming off of his 40-day fast, there was Satan tempting him. First thing he said to him, because he knew he was hungry, won't you turn these rocks into bread? Jesus' response was, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you don't know that, Satan could twist the word in a way that have you that cause you commit sin because you're not following the word the way it is written. So if you can't stand on the word of God because you don't know it, which means you got to spend time studying it. You got to spend time in it. But Lord, we got the college football game coming on. Illinois is playing Ohio State. Or they're playing Michigan. And Lord, I need that time to watch the football game. Okay, well, while you're watching the game, don't ask me any questions. Don't ask me for anything. You watch your game. When you got time for me, come and talk to me. Maybe I'll have time for you. Amen? So we got to get in God's word. God's word is the thing that keeps us when we're going through. When we're sick, Isaiah 53 and 5, by his stripes, I am what? Healed. Need financial. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all of my what? need. That's not needs. Is need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We need him. Our needs, he will supply. Okay? So when you're being hit with something, you got to be able to come back with the word of God. Because that's what God is going to move on. He's going to move on his word. God cannot lie. So if his word said he would do it, and it also says that whatever we ask in his son, Jesus Christ's name, shall be given unto us. Not that it might, but shall be. That means we got to know what word to put out there to get God to move, to get the results of God. But if you don't know the word, you can't quote it, nor can you defend yourself against the enemy, because he knows you don't know the word of God. So he can wear you out and allowing things to come into your life because you can't stand on God's word because you don't know it. Y'all with me? So you got to know that word. And I encourage you to spend as much time in God's word that you can. When you're driving to work, have on a Bible CD and listen to it. Since faith comes by what? Hearing by the word of God. So the more you're hearing God's word, the more you're in God's word, the more your faith will grow, your faith will strengthen. The more your faith strengthens, Satan can come at you. You look at him and say, okay, Satan, I'm the same one that you tried to attack last year, and I came back with you with the word of God. You sure you want to attack me again? Because you know what I'm capable of. Because my father said, I have the authority to put you in your place. So are you sure you want to attack me again? Because I'm ready for you if you want to go. But you got to know that word. Okay. Number 11. Teach and admonish one another. In order to teach, we got to know what we're teaching. You know, one thing that I've always, when I was in college, I had this one professor that when you listen to him, you sit there wondering, what in the world is he talking about? Because what he was discussing had nothing to do with what we read in the chapter in our book for class. When he gave a test, he tested us on what he thought and not what he told us to study. So we're wondering, how did he become a professor? A tenured professor at that, because he didn't know what he was talking about. Do you know what you're talking about when you talk to others, when you talk to people who don't know God? Do you know what you're talking about? Do you know how to lead them to God? Do you know how to quote the word of God? And your knowledge of scripture may be limited, but know what you know. So when you have opportunities to minister to somebody, you can minister based off God's word and not what you think God's word is saying, but off of God's word. I used to have students get upset with me because they would come to me and say, Claude, I'm dealing with so-and-so and so-and-so. And I would hand them my Bible. I would say, read this. Well, Claude, you're judging me. I said, no, I'm not. I asked you to read the word of God. God's word is judging you. I just asked you to read. So, but sometimes that's how we have to teach, is by leading them to the word of God so that they can learn for themselves. Amen. Number 12, and that was Colossians 3 and 16. Number 12, use Christians' power of attorney. Y'all know what the Christian's power of attorney is? Jesus Christ. Calling on the name of Jesus is our power of attorney. Power of attorney gives you authority. If you have a family member that is not doing well and you receive a power of attorney, that means you can make decisions for that person. So we want to use our power of attorney when we're dealing with Satan, when we're dealing with sin. And by using the power of attorney, we're also using the word of God. Amen? See, Acts 22 and 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away all sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Have you allowed your sins to be washed away? When we are baptized, our sins are to be washed away. We're supposed to be circumcised of the heart, which means those things that used to be a part of us are no longer a part of us. Have you allowed yourself to be bathed in the word of God, that your sins have been washed away? That you're no longer the person you used to be, but you're now a new creature in God. And my last one, do you worship when trials come? And I ask that you go back and read Job chapters 1 and 2. In chapter 1, and this is dealing with Job 1, 20 through 22. But the beginning of that, the angels of God comes before God, and also Satan. And God says to Satan, what are you doing? He says, I'm paraphrasing. He says, I'm going to and fro, seeing whom I may devour. God says, have you tried my servant Job? Can God say that about you? Have you tried, angel, have you tried Shirley? Have you tried Elijah? Have you tried Lisa? Have you tried Claude? But now, in order for God to say that, that means you have a relationship with him that he knows you can stand the test that is coming your way. So he said, have you tried my servant Job? It's unlike him. He loves me, but he hates you. But then Satan says this thing that really stuck with me. He says, Lord, but do you not have a hedge of protection around him? In other words, Lord, as long as you protect him, I can't touch him. You need to understand that as long as God protecting you, Satan cannot touch you unless God allows it to happen. So the things that's coming in your life, God has allowed those things for a reason. And he says you can touch all that he has, but you can't touch him. So even though God may allow things to happen in your life, God also gives parameters on what Satan can and cannot do. In one night, everything that he has, and you know, Job was the richest man in the East. Everything that he has was taken away from him. And he was a man that truly loved God. But after losing everything, this is what Job did. He shaved his head, he ripped his robe, he dropped down to his knees, and he worshiped. Can you worship when things are being taken away from you? Can you worship when there's nothing in the bank and you're hungry, you need things you need to do? Can you still worship? Can you still worship when you don't feel good? Can you still worship when things are not going good on your job? Can you still worship? And then Job says, naked I came into this world. No, naked I came out of my mother's womb. And naked I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you're rooted and anchored in God's word, your response will always be God. It's not going to be murmuring and complaining. It's not going to be, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Lord, da, 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 da. It's going to be, Lord, I thank you. Because I know who I serve. I know who I am in you. And because I know who I am in you, I know that whatever test I'm dealing with, I'm already victorious, but there's something in the midst of this trial that you're trying to tell me, you're trying to teach me. And so, Lord, I want to get everything that you got for me. Because when I come out of this, I'm coming out of this with my hands up. I'm coming out of this with the praise in my mouth.
Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message. Join us online every Sunday and Wednesday for our streaming services. You can also follow us on Twitter at New Life Sullivan or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/New Life Sullivan.